Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
Understand that you're going to have to break some sweat. You're going to have to put some effort in it. You're going to have to grind the wheat. You're going to have to pulverize it. You can't just bring the wheat in and make bread until you crush it. It's got to be crushed. It's got to be made into a usable form. And so it doesn't mean that God hasn't blessed you with the bread. It could mean that you haven't put in the work to go from seed to oh, you're listening this morning. In the story, we have a certain man who had his servants to sow good seed in the field. And while they slept, and I used to preach against them sleeping until I realized that everybody has to go to sleep sometime. It is impossible for you to stay up around the clock. The enemy comes in while they are asleep and plants the weeds or the tare while they're sleeping. In the story, they don't wake up the next morning and know the enemy has been there, because the enemy has planted it in such a way that when they wake up in the morning, they do not notice any change. Notice the timing. It was not the next day. But while they did not notice it, the evil or weeds were sown in the wheat.
Help us.
Anybody who understands, don't let me get ahead of myself. Anybody who understands this understands that there are important truths to be learned. Lesson number one, it is naive to think that the planting of good exempts us from the presence of bad. It is naive to think that the planting of good exempts us from the presence of bad. This is important for us to understand. Just because God allows wheat to be planted doesn't mean that weeds are restricted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like this. So we have to be able to produce in the presence of weeds. So for all of you who are waiting for all the weeds to be gone before you produce the wheat, you are not digging deep enough into this text, because this text declares there will never be a day that you can be wheatful without being weedful. God allows the wheat to be planted. That doesn't mean that the weeds are restricted. Wheat is planted with great intentionality. Wheat is planted with great intentionality. In other words, wheat is not going to grow in this ground if it is not planted. It is not a natural result of the climate, the soil, the rain, and the sunshine. It has to be planted. Nobody succeeds accidentally. Nobody wins a marathon accidentally. Nobody wins the Olympics accidentally. Nobody gets a master's degree accidentally. Nobody gets a diploma accidentally. Nobody passes a GED accidentally. Nobody gets a promotion accidentally. Just because you pray doesn't mean you win. This is work. This is sweat. This is labor, because this is agriculture. And agriculture means that the intention of sowing the seed is that I might have wheat. And the intention of having wheat is that I might have bread. From seed to wheat to bread is going to take. I can't plant seed today and eat bread tonight, because timing is. So if I am going to be seedful, I have to be patient for the seed to grow first down and then up. You didn't get that. It's going to first grow down and then up. Some of you are standing over your life talking about, I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. I keep sowing and I don't see nothing. The seed grows down before it grows up. You're not supposed to see it, but just because you don't see it doesn't mean that the roots are not growing in the soil. And if you wait a little while, it is going to go from seed to wheat and from wheat to bread. And there is work in between every stage. The seed is work, the wheat is work, the bread is work. You cannot eat any better than you work. No, somebody said your blessing is going to be work. When you get through dancing and shouting about the promise of God, understand that you're going to have to break some sweat. You're going to have to put some effort in it. You're going to have to grind the wheat. You're going to have to pulverize it. You can't just bring the wheat in and make bread until you crush it. It's got to be crushed. It's got to be made into a usable form. And so it doesn't mean that God hasn't blessed you with the bread. It could mean that you haven't put in the work to go from seed to from seed to. Oh, you're listening this morning. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going from seed to wheat to bread. I might not be ready for consumption right now, but I'm in process and I'm going somewhere. And don't look down at me because I'm not bread. I may be in the wheat stage, I may be in the seed stage, but I am on my way to a place that God has destined for me. Who am I talking to this morning? Whoever I'm talking to, God says, hang on in there. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm taking you through process. And at the right time, I'm going to take you from seed to. I'm still dancing off. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. And it is done on purpose. I want you to get this. The reason it is planted is because it is not indigenous to the land. The word agriculture is rooted in the word cult. Cult means you're not orthodox. Means you're not natural, you're not normal. Agra means land. That means that wheat is not normal to the land. You can't just wish for it, you have to make it happen. Agriculture, culture. I'm gonna make this happen. It is not indigenous. You don't get it just because you want it. You gotta plant it. You gotta be intentional about it. You gotta work on it. You gotta labor for it, because you were not raised in an environment that agrees with your dream. That doesn't mean you can't have it. It means that you've got to be cultural enough to be a cult against your neighborhood. I'm the only one in my family. I'm the only one in my neighborhood. I'm the only one in my city. I'm the only one in my house. If they don't like me at the family reunion, and they don't invite me back to the parties, and my friends have changed because I am cultish to them, I broke the rule. I got out. Everybody who got out, make some noise. Can I go deeper? How many people are getting blessed in this room? You got to be willing to be different. You got to be willing to be controversial. You've got to be willing to be talked about. And the greatest problem in our community right now is that we are so sensitive. We're more worried about being liked than we are being fruitful. And you're praying to God about what they said, and she said, and he said, and God said, unless you deny mother, father, sister, brother, and even deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I want to take just a moment on this special time of year to be thankful to God and thankful to you and thankful to our partners. I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and thank you for the lineage and legacy that we have been able to accomplish together. I want you to be blessed. I want your family to be blessed. And I want you to enjoy the goodness of God. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. In this moment, this is where worship becomes real, as you prioritize and recognize the relevance of God in your life by reaching into your stuff. It's not our singing, it's not our preaching, it's not our technology, but what will you render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The information is on the screen, how you can become a contributor to the ministry and the work of the Lord, but more important than just that, how you can show God that you are grateful that in times like these, God has still made a way for you. In times like these, you still got something to eat. In times like these, you're feeling as well as you are. In times like these, you still got a place to lay your head. Oh, don't take that stuff for granted. God has been good to you. And you can't stand there and be nebulous and hide in the shadows and not recognize him in all of your ways. So do what you've got to do to be a part of this. This is a good lesson. Whenever there is great potential for harvest, the enemy will always earmark the spot with calamity. Whenever there is great potential for harvest, the enemy will earmark the spot with calamity. Somebody was telling me about a restaurant that they liked up in North Dallas, and I was getting my head shaved at the time, and I said, let me find it in my phone. So I got in my phone and found it in my phone, and then I earmarked it as a favorite. I haven't been there yet, but I earmarked it as a favorite so I could find it easily. I haven't been yet, but I heard there was potential. So I earmarked it so I could find it when I had. So wherever the enemy sees potential, he will always earmark it with calamity. So they never planted weeds before the wheat. Notice the sequence. It was the wheat being planted that caused them to plant the weed. They didn't plant the weed and then plant the wheat. The wheat attracts the weed so that the enemy can earmark the spot. The devil knew God was going to bless you. Hell knew God was going to use you. Hell knew that God had a purpose for your life. He earmarked it with calamity. So while men slept, he came, planting in the dark, sowing in the soil. I don't get to see him plant it, and I don't get to see what he planted. He is covered by the darkness of night, and his craftiness is hidden under the soil. When they wake up that morning, they see no difference. How many of you have gone through something and nobody saw no difference? Here comes my rooting system. When the men woke up that morning, they didn't know when they were watering the wheat. They were watering the weeds. And the infrastructure has now become a system underground before the wheat comes up, before the wedding, before the degree, before the call to ministry. The system, you're fighting a system. You're fighting a system. You're not fighting a devil. You're fighting a system. All I could see for days and days and days were these tangled up roots. You are fighting an infrastructure. The kingdom of heaven is like, listen to what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like, the war is underground. The war is underground. The tangle is underground. You're trying to fight on top of the soil, but the system is underground. You're trying to fight in the flesh, but the system is in the spirit. It's in the spirit world. It's in the spirit world. It's in the spirit world. Somebody say it's in the spirit world. So the enemy has brought me to lesson number three. Lesson number three, get this. Corruption and destruction are two different things. Corruption and destruction are two different things. He could not destroy the wheat. So all he could do was corrupt the environment in which the wheat was coming. Oh, God. He couldn't stop you from coming up. He just wanted to make it hard for you. We know what the system is. We know who planted it. The question remains in the text. Why did he plant it? And this is an important question. If you don't understand why he planted it, you can't figure out how to overcome it. My first thought was, maybe the weeds will kill the wheat. But the truth of the matter is, the wheat and the weed can grow up right beside each other. And if it was wheat when it went in the ground, it'll be wheat when it comes out of the ground. If it was a weed when it went in the ground, it'll be a weed when it comes out of the ground. So if the weeds didn't kill the wheat, why did he plant it? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Are y'all tired? Should I quit? Why did he plant it, Sarita? I can't figure out. Why did he plant it? If he couldn't curse what God has blessed, if he couldn't change the molecular structure of what he planted in me, if he couldn't change my wheat to weed, why did he go out at night and slither and put the weed beside the wheat? The temptation is not in the substance of the wheat and the weed, but the decision of how you handle it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't leave me now, because if you leave me now, you're gonna miss the whole thing. The whole mystery is in the question when they ask him, from whence cometh this? The master said, an enemy hath done this. They said, should we go? Here it is, and pull up the weeds. And he said, no, leave it alone. See, the master knew that there was a system underground, that even if you pull only the weeds, there was such a tangling in the roots that he said, if you pull up the weeds, you will kill the wheat. Now I see what the devil is trying to get me to do. He's trying to get me to take matters into my own hands and try to solve the problem. But the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, leave it alone. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't even know what this means to you. God said you're uncomfortable, but leave it alone. You're frustrated, but leave it alone. You're aggravated, but leave it alone. You're afraid, but leave it alone. You're tired of it, but leave it alone. That's the setup. The devil wants you to do something. God said you gotta have enough faith to leave it alone. Somebody give him 30 seconds of crazy praise. So the master says, lesson four, let me give you this. I'm almost out. You got one more after this, I'm done. I want you to get this. The wisdom of waiting is the opiate of faith. The wisdom of waiting is the opiate of faith, especially since time is so expensive to spend. The trick is to wait it out. The master says, leave it alone, lest while trying to fix it, you make it worse. It's a setup. Weed cannot change wheat. So why did he plant it? To trick you into this impatience where you feel like you're running out of time and you got to do something now. Your faith is expressed through your silence. This is not your battle. The wisdom of waiting It's the opiate of faith, the most expensive seed you can plant is time. If you sow money, you're gonna get some more money. But if you plant time, you'll never have it again. And the enemy has plagued you with a spirit of urgency that makes you want to take matters into your own hands. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody holler, wait. Somebody holler, wait. Somebody holler, wait. Be still. He says, leave it alone. It's not that you're wrong, it's that the timing isn't right. To him whom much is given, much is required. I want to talk to my big dream people.
Reinvigorate your passion and amplify your dreams. For your gift of any amount, be inspired through 10 life lessons from the birth of Jesus with Bishop T.D. Jakes' emotional holiday book, The Memory Quilt. For your gift of $110 or more, you'll receive the Model Homes 30-Day Devotional, as well as the Small Bookshelf Light Box, which is customizable with 60 letters and symbols in addition to the memory quilt.
And God says, I will send rain in its season. When the rain comes, I am ready to receive what God has for me.
For your gift of $175 or more, you'll receive Bishop's groundbreaking three-book holiday collection, including Naked and Not Ashamed, Unlocked, and Follow the Star. You'll also receive this set of custom-branded bookends in addition to everything you see here. Call or click today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.